2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. And I actually put the title of the message out on the signboard out in front of the church tonight. And I want to just bring a message for us to evaluate our lives and our time with. This message is called Too Many Irons in the Fire Makes the Fire Go Out. Too many irons in the fire makes the fire go out. We see here a testimony from the Apostle Paul. He says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Word." Notice the word conversation there. As we point out often, the word had a much broader meaning almost 400 years ago when our King James Bible was written. It did not just mean your words, but it also meant your life. They believed that people spoke back then in two different ways, by their actions and by their words. And so your life or your actions is a conversation that you show to the world. People can tell a lot by the way we behave. It is a message in itself, the way we look and act and all those types of things, our behavior, as well as what we say. And so the word conversation here literally means our lifestyle. Our lifestyle. We have had our lifestyle in the world. We have had our conversation in the world. And what? He said, our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. He said, this is something we rejoice about. This is something that fits well into our conscience. And then here's the word I'd like you to see, that in simplicity. In simplicity and godly sincerity. Not in fleshly wisdom. But by the grace of God, we have had our lifestyle or our conversation in the world that's towards the lost and more abundantly to you, Word, that is towards those he's speaking to in the church, those that are believers in Jesus Christ. Notice two words here, simplicity and sincerity. Simplicity and sincerity is what described his life. And it's what we want to try to understand tonight and, of course, emulate in our lives. We study the Bible so we can become like what it teaches. And the opposite of complexity is simplicity. And when we think of complexity, there's an old adage nowadays that maybe you've heard before, too many irons in the fire. When somebody says he has too many irons in the fire, or she has too many irons in the fire, what are they saying? They are saying that person has too much on their plate. They're doing too much. She's doing too much. He's doing too much. Or somebody might say, I've got too many irons in the fire. Now, it comes from the olden days when there were blacksmiths and they had big fire hearths. And they would heat them up red hot with fire. They'd get coals and so on and so forth burning in the hearth. And then they would stick metal in the hearth for whatever reason it might be. They maybe were bending it into horseshoes or bending it into some kind of a tool or a die or maybe just heating up a branding cow poke or something to brand their cows or whatever. But back in those days, they learned by experience that if they loaded that hearth up with iron, the fire would go out. The fire would go out much more speedily than if they just put one or two bits of metal or whatever they were working with in the fire at a time. And from those days came that saying, too many irons in the fire makes the fire go out. Now, you know, there is a fire of life. There is a fire of life. Sometimes you'll hear somebody also say something like, he no longer has the fire in the belly. I don't know, that's kind of an old expression too. You kids may have never heard that before, but he doesn't have the fire in the belly anymore. What does that mean? He doesn't have the excitement. He doesn't have the enthusiasm. He doesn't have the fire for life. He doesn't want to do what he's doing anymore. He's cooled down. The fire of his life has gone out. And that can happen. It's something that can happen to anybody no matter what they're doing. They can start something out, and they get maybe a particular job, or they get a particular degree from graduation, or they get into a particular field, and this is exciting, and then all of a sudden after a year or two, it's not so exciting anymore, and the fire goes out. I know I had that experience in the Army. I thought I was really interested in electronics. And I wanted to be an electronic technician and anything besides the farm, that's for sure. And so I went into the Army and got into electronics, and they taught me in basic electronics and in cryptographic equipment repair and all this stuff, gave me a top secret special intelligence clearance. And then I got on the field, and after about a year of it, I was so bored, and it was so dry and so dead of a field, and there was no... You know, all I was basically doing was watching lights on machines, and if they broke down, I would fix them. And sometimes you'd sit around for days waiting for something to break down, and those were long days. The fire went out regarding my interest in electronic technology. And sometimes that helps, or that happens to people. The Bible says there's a certain fire of life, so to speak, that we have to keep going inside of us as believers. Sometimes you can see people. You see people who serve the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years sometimes. I've seen people who serve the Lord for 50 years, and some look at them and say, he's on fire for God. She's still on fire for God. And those people have learned the secret of how to keep the fire going in their life, and we need that. In Psalm 104 and verse 4, it says, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire. God makes his ministers a flaming fire. He gives them the fire in the belly. He gives them the passion in their soul to keep wanting to do it over and over and over again. And we've got to keep that fire burning in us for the Lord. The evangelist the other day, Brother Paul Schwenke, I got to talk to him. He's been an evangelist for 27 years. And in that time, he has ministered in 517 churches. And, I heard him talking. He says the average church member, in all those years, he found out the average church member belongs to a church for 3 years. For 3 years, and then the fire goes out. And then they got to find another church, or they just quit and go back off into the world, or whatever it might be. And some of these people have never learned the secret to keeping the fire burning in their life. Some of you have. Some of you have been around for a long time, and some of you have grown cold, but you got it heated back up again. That happens. You know, I know how that happens, and myself too. There's been times where I've just been going through the motions, and sometimes maybe for days or weeks or something, and we can figure out how to fake people out. But man, you got to have some fire if you're going to make it. Jeremiah one time wanted to quit, and he just said, "Lord, you're too big for me. You faked me out. You told me this was going to happen, and everything you told me at the beginning, and so I quit. I'm never going to mention your name again. I'm done as a preacher." That's what Jeremiah said. But his word was in his heart like a burning fire, and he could not withhold anymore, and he had to get back to the ministry, back to the preaching. He couldn't quit. Psalm 39 and verse 3 says this, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." He was musing. He was musing. That means he was using his mind. He was in God's Word. And David and Jeremiah, those two examples I just gave you, were men who realized that while he was musing, the fire burned. And that's how you keep the fire going. The Lord said, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord. I mean, it'll keep you warm. And God himself, he addressed himself, he said, our God is a consuming fire. And if you get close to the Lord, and if you get close to the Bible constantly, you get close to the fire. And it'll warm you up, and it'll keep you going. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out, Solomon said in Proverbs. You've got to keep stacking wood on the fire of your life by being in the Bible every day, by getting close to God every day. And even when you get cold and backslidden, and that happens to all of us at times, maybe for a day or an hour or something or a couple days, get right back to God, and he'll fire you up again. He'll fire you up again. And we need to be on fire for the Lord. It's the only way you're going to make it. You're not going to make it if you cool down and get cold. And so we need to be careful that we don't put the fire out. There's a lot of ways you can put a fire out. You pour water on it. And that water in the Bible represents compromise. You can throw dirt and mud on it. That represents sin in the Bible. You can starve it of oxygen. That's the food of a fire. And you can starve yourself from the Bible, the food of your soul, and put the fire out. There's different ways you can put the fire out. But another way you can put the fire out in your life is by having too many irons in the fire. Too many irons in the fire. Now, I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight. You must really know this, especially if you're out on a Sunday night. But, brethren, there's a lot of people around this area that are believers in Jesus Christ, born again believers in Jesus Christ, but they're involved in so many things in their life. They got so many irons in the fire of their life that they've put the fire out in their lives. Too many irons in the fire makes the fire go out. If I could subtitle this sermon, I would call it Simplify Your Life. Simplify Your Life. Paul says here, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our lifestyle in the world, in simplicity and sincerity. Now, before we go further, there's two definitions of simplicity in the Scriptures, and we don't want to use the first one that you come to, and that is, of course, brought out in the book of Proverbs, and that is the person who maybe lacks intelligence. There used to be an old English word, a simpleton. He's a simpleton. And that was a word that spoke about one who was mentally deficient. He was not, in other words, he wasn't very smart. The whole book of Proverbs is written to the simple. I think it's mentioned 14 times in there, the word simple, in the book of Proverbs. And that's not a derogatory word. It's just saying, young men, you need to get wisdom for your life, so read Proverbs over and over and over again. You just get four verses into Proverbs, and when you're reading in Proverbs 1, why this book was written, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So Proverbs was written so that we wouldn't be simple in the sense we wouldn't go into life as young men or young ladies in ignorance, but rather we would do on purpose our lives according to the will of God. You children, you young men, in your youth, your teens, your 20s, you should be reading out of Proverbs every day of your life. You can't saturate your mind or heart enough with the book of Proverbs. You should read it over and over and over and over again. It gives subtlety to the simple. He gets down to verse 22, Proverbs 1, and he says this, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long, you ignorant ones, will you just live in ignorance of what God expects of you? And so the book of Proverbs lifts us out of that simplicity. Simplicity in that verse is spoken of in a negative connotation, but in our text tonight, in a positive connotation, one that's desirable, one we should pursue. And this word simplicity is not talking about, he's not saying that in simplicity, and God, he's not saying that in ignorance. You know, we're a bunch of people that don't know anything. No, he's saying in simplicity, we've simplified our lives. Simplified our lives. Everything we do is in sincerity. We're not hypocrites. And he says, this is how we've lived in the world. We've lived simple lives in front of the unbelievers. And to you, Word, we live simple lives in front of the believers. There's people not here tonight because they've got so many irons in the fire. There really are. Any of you that go out on visitation, you hear it all the time. Oh, I know I should go to church, but man, it's my only day off. I'm so busy. I got so much going on in my life. The other side of the sign out front, if you look at it on the way out, says this: good things are often the enemy of the best things. Good things are often the enemy of the best things. And it is possible to get very, very involved in good things, but to miss the best things. Now, you and I only get one shot at this thing called life. It's very important that we discern early in life what are the best things. And let those be the things that I live for. And let the world waste their time on the good things. And there's some good things out there. Basically, for us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's work, family, and church, or I'd rather enlarge that and say the Lord's work. And basically, your work is the Lord's work. If you're in the will of God and you're a man going off to work, or if you're a lady that has to work or something, and that's the job that you have, that is God's will for your life. I've been through that in the scriptures where it's not your secular employment. It's God's will. You are just as much in God's will doing that as I am as a pastor, if that's where God wants you to be, in the factory or wherever it might be. Being a mechanic, being a nurse at the prison, whatever it is. That you're just as much in God's will, and you should be a light and the salt of the earth in that place for the Lord. But basically it's work, family, and church, or an expanded word would be the Lord's work. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't belong to any organizations or sports programs. I don't serve on any boards or committees or community organizations. I've been invited to. I received a call this week from an organization here in Eden. Would you like to come to this lunch this Thursday and be a part of this, and so on and so forth? And it's a good cause. It's a good cause, but it would take up a lot of my time. I would have to put another iron in the fire of my life. And it's not something that I see would bring about eternal results. And so I got out of that. I don't belong to anything but the church. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't even belong to a political party. I'm not saying it's wrong to. You may belong to a political party, but I've just simplified my life. I want to spend the rest of my life trying to really target what are the best things, what are the most eternal things that I can do, and give my life wholly over to them. Paul simplified his life. Paul simplified his life and was faithful in doing those things that had eternal value. He did not get burnt out. The fire of his life did not get burnt out because he got involved in so many things. He lived a simple life, and yet Paul's life is still remembered today. You know something? The Apostle Paul, when you study Christian history or your Bible, the two lives that have been lived on this earth in the last 2,000 years, that have been studied the most, are number one, Jesus Christ, and number two, who? Apostle Paul. Those are the two lives that are studied the most in all of the Bible for those that are interested in Christianity. The life of Christ, the life of Paul. And both of them lived very, very simple lives. Now, the word simple is sometimes translated into the word single in our King James Bible. Let me show you an example where that happens. The same word that is translated here, simplicity, is translated into the word single in Luke 11 and verse 34. Could you turn there for just a minute? Luke 11 and verse 34. Jesus says here in Luke 11 and verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, what's the product? The whole shall be full of light. The whole body it also is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. See that word single in the middle of verse 34? It's the exact same word that is translated simplicity in our text tonight, where Paul said, I have lived in simplicity and sincerity. He is saying here, I have lived a single life. Now, he was single. He never got married. That's not what he was meaning, though. He lived a single life. In other words, he spent his whole life with one focus. And what was that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what he said. That's simple. Now, if your eye is single, what's the promise? Your whole body will be full of light. Your whole body will be full of light. I mean, if you can get in perspective, what is the best? What is the most eternal thing I can do? And my eye is going to fasten on that, and let everybody else have their eyes and their lives scattered in 20 directions. And have you ever seen people like that? I mean, they're all over nowadays. And I'm not trying to make light of them or anything, but boy, I know parents, and they got their kids are in soccer, and their kids are in ballet, and their kids are in dancing, and then it's softball, and then it's football, and then it's volleyball, and then it's baseball, and then it's whatever else is coming down the pike. And they're running the kids here, running the kids here, running the kids here, running the kids there, and they're forever following their kids around as their kids lead the way. Dad, we got soccer. Okay, let me take you. Dad, got to go to ballet. All right, get in the car. Let me take you there, and so on and so forth. They got all these irons in the fire. And then they belong to a bunch of community organizations and so on and so forth. And the result of that is kind of like confusion. I'm working with some families right now. Don't come to church or don't come to church much, and their lives are confused. They say, we don't know what to do. And I say, I know exactly what you should do. And I'm not trying to act like a wise guy. But I could go through that family and say, you need to stop this and 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 get into your Bible and get into church and get close to the Lord, and your thinking is going to clear up. Your marriage problems are going to clear up. Your family problems are going to clear up, or at least they're going to get bettered, or you're going to find help for them. And once in a while, you hear somebody says, you know, I think you're right. And they do it, and, you know, I've seen people, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, some of this stuff, hunting and fishing and golfing and that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that once in a while. I don't think it's wrong to recreate. But I've seen some people say, you know, I'm going to cut the fishing out of my life and the hunting out of my life and the golfing out of my life and so on and so forth. And they start to live a single life focused on God and focused on Christ. And then their whole body becomes full of light. And they say, wow, I understand what it's about now. I understand why I'm here. This word simplicity refers to the singular life. Things get obscure, things get cloudy, things get confusing when we have too much going on in our lives, when we have too many irons in the fire. Notice Jesus said, thy body also is full of darkness. Full of darkness. Have you ever noticed, have you ever known exactly what somebody should do and you can't convince them of it? Isn't that a frustrating thing? That's one of the most frustrating things in the ministry. When you know exactly what someone should do and you know exactly it's going to work, but they can't see it. They're just bodies full of darkness. Take heed, verse 35, therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Some people think they got their life in the right perspective, but the light that's in them is darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, verse 36, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And that's something, having no part dark. Brethren, we need to live a simple life, a singular life, like Paul, for me to live is Christ. In Ephesians 6 and verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart. Same word as simplicity. Singleness of heart. I'm on the job. This is my boss. I do what he says. Singleness of heart. I'm here to work for him. That's what I do all day. Singleness of heart. Same word is used for simplicity in the scriptures. So when you think of Christianity and the two Bible characters that are studied more than others, the two Bible characters whose lives just have profoundly impacted the world more than any two human beings that have ever walked this earth, it was Jesus Christ and it was Paul, and they lived simple lives. What did Jesus ever do besides the ministry? What did he ever do? Nothing. His whole life was about the ministry. What did Paul ever do after his conversion? And you know, they grew up side by side. You ever think of that? Jesus and Paul, I'm sure they saw each other growing up as boys and so on. And they went to the same temple, right? They're about the same age. Jesus died around 33 A.D. Paul died later, 67 A.D. He called himself Paul the Aged. When we first meet him, he's a young man holding the coats with Stephen and so on and so forth. He was probably born about the same time Christ was born in Bethlehem. He was the son of a Pharisee, so you know he was at the temple, right? So every time Jesus went down to the temple from Nazareth at the Passover, Paul was there. They both had the same leadership, Annas and Caiaphas, high priests during their life. And they grew up together. I'm sure they grew up seeing each other. Maybe not meeting each other formally, but you know how that happens sometimes. And, of course, they were extremely devout to their religion. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the law, he was faultless. And so every single time for 33 years that Jesus went down to Jerusalem, Paul was there too. Every single time. And that was something. And they went back to their hometowns and lived in different hometowns, had different synagogues and so on. But then Paul just became so jealous and so proudly religious of his Judaism that he just went crazy, started killing people, committing them to prison, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, you know about his great conversion. And after his conversion, his whole life became singular. For me to live is Christ. And what a profound life he led. Still affects the world today. Did you know he's our human pattern? The Lord, the day he saved Paul, said, I have appointed you to be a pattern for them that should believe hereafter to follow. A We call him Paul the Pattern. I'm following Paul. And Paul said four times, follow me as I follow Christ. He knew he was that pattern. So we follow Christ ultimately, but he was God in the flesh, and that's kind of hard to live up to him, although that's the goal. That's the mark. But Paul is a human being who ended up getting saved, born again, trusting Christ as a Savior, gave his life wholly to Christ. Man, did you ever read, once he got that singular life, once he got that simplicity in his life, did you ever read what he did? He did three missionary trips. He crossed paths with 102 different men, and he influenced most of those men for good, and he left them back on earth when he died and had his head cut off, and probably about 67 A.D., those other men kept the work going, and Titus went off to Crete and served the Lord, and Timothy went off to Ephesus and served the Lord, and Barnabas kept serving, and Silas and all those other guys. And you get people saved like Demas, and then that man become profitable to ministry, and he just left dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of churches that he had planted during his life, and you look at it and you just say, man, how did he do that? He didn't have any cars, he didn't have any cell phones, he didn't have any printing presses, no copy machines, no computers. You see, I'm not saying tonight that the simple life is the lazy life. If you're here tonight and you're saying, boy, I like this sermon. Yeah, I got to get some of the front irons out of my fire so I can simplify my life and not have to do anything. No, these are the two hardest working men that Christianity has ever known. But they worked hard in the simplicity of that single vision for their lives. They worked hard in it. Kind of like Orville Redenbacher. Do one thing and do it right. Remember that? That's why he made millions selling popcorn. And Mr. Ray Kroc bought a restaurant one time from two guys named McDonald's because they were selling hamburgers and fries for 15 cents each. And Kroc had made these machines that made milkshakes. He said, can I buy the rights to your name and your hamburgers and fries? They seem to go along good with my milkshakes. The rest is history. See, it's often the people who have a singular vision that just change the world and live the most profound lives. It's not the people who are running their kids here and here and here and here, and I'm in this organization, I'm not doing anything right. But it's those who get the singular vision and then work harder than anybody. You see, when we talk about simplicity tonight, we're not talking about laziness. We're not talking about Jesus lived a simple life. Everything he did was for God and others. And it says this about his life in John 21 and verse 25. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's the last verse of the Gospel of John. I mean, Jesus only lived to be 33 and maybe a half years of age. He only really ministered publicly for a little over 3 years. But John said he had a simple vision. He had a singular a vision for his life. But boy, did he work harder than anybody I've ever seen in that. We're not promoting laziness tonight. What we're saying tonight is every one of us needs to find out what is the most important thing, what is the most eternal thing, and then work as hard as anybody's ever worked at that. That's what John said about Christ. And what about the testimony of Paul? What about his work habits? What about his work habits? Well, there's a famous verse, and we usually know how to start it by memory. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, it says this, "For I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Paul said, "I have been the hardest working Christian of my generation." So he said. He said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." He found one thing. He found that which God would have for him to do that was eternal, and he worked harder at it than anybody else. That's the message tonight. What were the very first words in red of Christ that were ever recorded? Trivia question tonight. Those of you that got red letter editions of the Bible, what were the very first words that were ever, that we ever know of Christ's life that were written in red? Amen. What are you saying? That's right. 12 years old, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? It's the first thing we ever know that knew that he said. Even when he was 12 years old, Christ had a singular vision. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. He said, I'm here to do my Father's business. Boy, we only get one life, a chance at that. And brethren, we have got to evaluate our lives and ask, do we have too many irons in the fire? Is the fire of our life going out because we got to do this and this and this and this, and then this is my favorite TV show, and then I'm in this club in town, and I'm in this organization, and my kids are in this sports, and I've got these hobbies, and I've got so much, you know, to do around my house and my yard and so on and so forth, and some of that we have to take care of. Brethren, we live, one songwriter once said about our country, we live in a country where people are running helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. And you go out there and everybody's too busy to go to church. Everybody's too busy to read the Word. Everybody's too busy to pray. Everybody's too busy to go out on visitation. And we're missing it out. There's people, I hope people, we record these and put them on the internet. Maybe somebody listening on the internet has to evaluate your life. And ask yourself, are you living the singular life, the life of simplicity and sincerity? Simplicity and sincerity. This is the life that I think will keep the fire going. We may have to get some irons out of the fire. We may have to simplify some things in our homes. We have to get rid of some things that are just time wasters, and live for one cause, and that's Christ. You'll never regret that. You'll never regret that in the end, that you lived for the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer.